Brian Lehrer on WNYC, 1 week before Election Day in New York and New Jersey. And don't forget, tonight at 7, you can join Andrea Bernstein and me for a live online chat simultaneously to the New York City mayoral debate on Channel 7. So if you watch the debate at 7 on 7, you can chat along, comment along with us, Andrea Bernstein and me, right on our website at WNYC.org. 30 issues in 30 days, issue 27, property taxes, and the governor's race. We just heard from independent Chris Daggett. Governor John Corzine is with us now. Governor, thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here.
First, let me get your comments on some of what we heard from Mr. Daggett. He'd offer this 25% property tax reduction up to $2,500 and pay for it largely by applying the sales tax to more things that better off New Jerseyans use, like lawyers, accountants, and architects, plus haircuts. Do you like the plan?
Well, first of all, you know, I like the idea that he bothered to put out something that is an issue of debate. We at least have something we can talk about, whether you like it or you don't like it. It's real. It's not the vague, we're going to cut taxes on the wealthy and business that Mr. Christie has put out, restore rebates. And I heard Mr. Daggett talk about the how Mr. Christie would fund the Transportation Trust Fund. The way I figure it, Mr. Christie is going to add on about $4 billion of additional structural debt on top of what at least some estimate might be as much as $8 billion next year. So I think Mr. Daggett's done a service by putting it forward. The program itself, I can't figure out how he's going to raise the $4 billion. He's talked about architectural fees, lawyers, and he's going to take out business to business. And so applying 7% against a number to get $4 billion is $56 billion worth of activity, economic activity. And quite honestly, I can't see how it works. And it is shifting the burden to sales tax, which tends to be regressive. And so I would not, I'd not be in favor of it, but I give him kudos for actually putting a plan down.
On whether it's regressive, he says the basic necessities would still be exempt from the property tax, and so is, I mean, from the sales tax, and mm-hmm. so it's not regressive in the sense that he's taxing things like lawyers and architects and so forth.
Listen, if somebody is writing a will and they're a middle class or moderate income family and go to a lawyer and have to pay legal fees, sounds to me like that's going to be a higher tax on them than it would be on someone who is making $1 million, which is where Mr. Christie wants to cut taxes. I don't think it is the direction I would take. We actually examined the service expansion of service sales tax, decided it was more regressive than we thought was appropriate, and it would be very hard to hold on to some of the services because people, instead of paying the sales tax here, just go to New York or Philadelphia to take up a lawyer or get their architect to draw up their plans to avoid the taxes. So I think it's very hard to see how you're going to raise $4 billion of revenue from it.
Is it fair to say that progressive taxation is a bedrock of your administration?
Absolutely. I believe in progressive application of how we give benefits, how we tax, and I think that ability to pay ought to be a determining element in how we approach all aspects of government application of both taxes and services. And that's exactly what we've done with the rebates. We restored them from the bottom up when we had the resources. We're up to 75,000, and we'd like to restore that back up to 150,000, certainly, and maybe even up to 200,000 as revenues come back. We expanded the senior freeze to include senior households up to 80,000 folks, major, major expansion, about 80,000 additional households. Our school funding formula, which is the major centerpiece of getting control of rising property taxes in New Jersey, is designed to make sure that not only are poorer districts or our weaker economic districts, but also our middle class districts get a greater share of state resources and school funding so that it will relieve pressure against property taxes.
So all those things, plus you've placed an income tax surcharge on people making $400,000 a year or more. Chris Christie constantly said...
We also put a cap on property taxes at 4% and came in under it. It was 3.7 this year. That's down from 7.5% in the 3 years preceded my tenure as government. And if we need to lower that cap to get this down to zero, we'll do that in the second term.
When I asked Chris Daggett a few minutes ago how he's different from you on this issue, because Christie keeps saying the two of you are the same, here's what Mr. Daggett said.
Governor Corzine is no different than Chris Christie. He has not offered any plan whatsoever for cutting property taxes. What he's said is he's going to increase rebates just like Chris Christie. So the honest answer is that the Chris Christie plan and the John Corzine plan are nearly identical, because if you go back in the debates, you will hear that they both said they're going to restore the property tax rebates. That is their plan. So I don't see how there's any comparison. I'm the one who's offered a very detailed plan to cut property taxes.
So,
well, I think that's fine that he would say that I want to restore rebates, because I do. That's just part of what we want to be doing. We're going to hold firm on our cap and potentially lower it so that property taxes can't rise. We're funding the school funding formula for our middle class districts, which will lower the pressure on property taxes at the local level. 55% of property taxes are driven by school funding. We've expanded the senior freeze. The senior freeze means that our seniors that qualify, and it'll be 50% of all seniors in the state of New Jersey, will never have a property tax increase because they'll get a rebate of the amount that it increases. And we're working forcefully on regionalization and consolidation. I heard Mr. Daggett say that there was one town in the last 20 years that consolidated. Well, we eliminated 26 school districts. We went from 616 to 590. We've got a program ongoing that will continue to consolidate school districts into K through 12, as opposed to having fragmentation pieces of K through 3 or middle schools alone. What we have to do is work diligently day after day on these shared services and consolidations. And matter of fact, there are towns across the state that are actually looking at consolidations now because of our cap. Princeton Borough and Princeton Township are going to have a borough meeting or a town meeting today, this evening, to actually consider going to the voters on this. And I think what you have to do is attack the source of the problem. The rebates actually help us get through it. And Mr. Daggett's plan, while, again, I appreciate the fact that he's laid something solid down, as opposed to Mr. Christie, who's said nothing. The fact is that we have a very detailed plan. It is in process, and we're making real progress in cutting the rate of growth. We have to restore rebates so that people can get through a period of time until we're able to get all of these long-run root causes squeezed out of our system.
Governor Corzine, my guest on WNYC. We just heard from Chris Daggett. We'll talk to a Christie supporter next. On the consolidation, the Gannett newspaper's 20-point plan includes mandatory consolidation of school districts and regionalization of police, fire, and other services in communities that can't meet cost efficiency benchmarks. Should it be mandatory, state-imposed, under any circumstances?
I think we live in a democracy, and people ought to come to their own conclusion that they want to deal with these issues of consolidation. The fact is that I think what we need to do is make it clear that we're not going to finance the widespread proliferation of government that exists, and that's what the cap is all about. If you put that cap on and you only distribute your school aid and some of the other aid to districts that meet those kinds of of efficiency criteria, and then I think you will get people on their own drawing the conclusion that they want to take the step. But I think it ought to be their choice.
Another Gannett point, public employees should be required to make contributions to health insurance and pension plans in line with the private sector. Mr. Daggett just supported that. Do you?
Well, we're the first governor that actually required cost sharing on health care. 1.5%, as you know, in New York City and New York State, they don't have that requirement even today. We broke that. We raised the retirement age from 55 to 62 after the last Republican administration lowered it from 60 to 55. We capped the defined benefit program at $105,000. Everything above that is the defined contribution program. We're taking steps that are moving us very strongly in the direction that I think they're suggesting. What they, are arguing is that the pace isn't fast enough, but I think we've had revolutionary changes here. Believe me, based on the pickets that I see from public employees that were scattered around the state the first half of this year as we went through these debates about furloughs and give backs and wages. They know that we've asked for additional contributions to their pension system. They know we have cost sharing on health care now, which is unprecedented in the state of New Jersey. They know we raised the retirement age from 55 to 62. So I think we're taking a lot of those steps. People just don't want to focus on what's been done. They want to say the glass is half empty. I'd say we've made a lot of progress.
Mr. Christie says if elected, he would not honor a promise you made to not lay off any state workers in the next year. Did you make that promise?
The promise is if we did go to layoffs, then you have to make up what they gave up in their salaries, which seems reasonable to me. And, you know, I don't think we're going to have to go through layoffs because we've done something that what the private sector always does when it goes through tough times, it puts on a very hard hiring freeze. And there is enough turnover to actually generate almost 2,000 people leaving the workforce each year. And we've reduced the workforce, the state workforce, since I've been governor, 8,400 people by a hard hiring freeze. We're going to continue that hard hiring freeze. That's about 12% of the overall workforce. And we've made significant progress on this without resorting to layoffs and undermining in some kind of shock therapy the services that are delivered by the state. And so I am all in favor of continuing to both reduce the size and scope of government, which we've done, first governor in history to cut the budget 2 years in a row, $5 billion, over 12%. The budget that I have this year is $1.8 billion smaller than the first budget that I submitted to the legislature. We're 8,400 smaller in number of people in the workforce. We're raised the retirement age from 55 to 62, capped defined benefits at 105, add additional payments into the pension system. We're taking strong steps that I think are ignored by Mr. Christie. I heard Mr. Daggett say it takes an intellectually dishonest position with regard to property taxes on how he has framed it. Not much detail in how he's framed it, but it's perfectly wrong to say that you're going to cut taxes on the very wealthy, big business, and then turn around somehow or another, be able to refund rebates, and not have property taxes go up at the local level. They'll skyrocket. They'll be on steroids if you did this approach. We've taken hard measures to deal with the cost of government.
Before you go, Governor, why are property taxes even a governor's issue? Property taxes are local. Why shouldn't we see this as a failure of localities to control costs on things like police pensions and education?
Well, Brian, I think, first of all, the issue is fundamentally driven by local decisions, local negotiations with teachers, firefighters, others in public employment groups, the quality of services that want to be delivered. But the state has a role through its use of how much money it gives out in state aid to cities, particularly how much aid it gives out to our educational system, which is the best in the country. Our performance is better than most any place in the nation and improving each year. So we have a partnership with the local level in making sure that we provide funding. That's why this school funding formula that was 40 years in the making, I got through the legislature and through the Supreme Court, is such an important ingredient in helping middle-class families get property tax relief. We're going to get property tax growth down to zero, and hopefully with the rebates. You know, when you get a rebate that's $1,200 against that $7,000 bill, well, your overall property tax bill is lower. If you're a senior, you get a $1,200 homestead rebate and a senior freeze that averages $1,200. It does a pretty good job of cutting back on the real pressure on those overall property tax bills. We've got more to do. A lot done, more to do.
Last thing. Do you have any reaction with respect to the implications for the state's finances of the public option bill for health care now going through your old body, the Senate, with the state opt-in? Or maybe you'd want to say if you would say right in advance that New Jersey would definitely opt in if you're governor, or does it depend on the details? And are there financial implications for the state?
First of all, it is highly likely, unless they really, really blow the details, that if I were governor, I would be opting in. I believe that...
you meant to say highly unlikely that you would be opting out, correct?
Yeah. I prefer a public option, and it does matter what the details look like. I want to be clear. I'm in favor of a public option. In the general bill, I wouldn't even care if it didn't have the opt-out element as a part of the legislation. But if it does, we'll examine the details, make sure that it works for New Jersey. But I think without a public option, you will have a very hard time controlling the increasing costs that are driven in part by profit motives for the insurance company. This is one of the reasons we've had this big debate about mandate-free policies. Insurance companies are going to do what is to their advantage in their pricing mechanisms and with the services they offer.
Right, but that's on the basic idea of a public option plan, which I think our listeners get the pros and cons of. On the specific financial implications for the state of New Jersey of the Senate bill as you understand it, are there any?
Well, right now, we think this, what I have seen in certainly in the... in the bill coming out of Health and Human Services Committee, the Labor Committee, is a good bill. There's aspects of the Baucus bill that take away some of the benefits for high-quality insurance programs that might hurt some people in New Jersey, and we certainly want to work to ease those shortfalls. But in general, I like the direction they're taking. I like the public option. We have to have the kind of competition that holds the line on the growth in insurance premiums year after year after year. And I would imagine that if there is a public option that the states can take, it will get shaped in a way that states will find attractive. And I would suspect that a vast, vast majority of the states across the country will opt in.
Governor John Corzine, thank you so much.
Thank you.